Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to our episode of Edu All-Stars. I am Todd Nesloni. On Twitter, you can find me at TechNinjaTodd. Here with me today, we have our always here, Chris.
Yeah, I'm Chris Kessler. You can find me at I am Kessler, and then Kessler has one S in it on Twitter.
And we normally have Tech Ninja Stacy here today, but Chris, you want to share why she's not here today?
We had to fire her. She was not holding her weight in our little trio, and we had to let her go. So we're looking for a replacement. If you want to send us your resume, we'll definitely be looking at those.
Just send us a brief video of you talking, and we'll choose to see. Actually, Stacy has not been fired. Stacy has microphone issues tonight and is not able to join us because of technology reasons.
So wait, so her name still is here. Her name is Tech Ninja Stacy, yet she's having technical problems. Okay.
Yep. But also here with us today, we have Amber Tiemann, who is an assistant principal at Watson Technology Center in Garland, Texas. She is a mother of two and a firm believer in integrating technology into schools. And in addition to everything that she does for education, she's a very big Dallas Cowboy fan, but mainly more specifically a Troy Aikman fan.
Yes.
So,
Chris.
But Amber, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and give us your Twitter handle?
Yeah. Again, Amber Tiemann. My Twitter handle is 8Amber8, surrounded by Troy, so that you can't forget that. And I chose that a number of years ago before I realized that it would be professionally connecting me to everything, but still, I think it's easy for people to remember that I'm surrounded by Troy, so it works for me.
Well, we are excited to have you here today, Aaron. You are our very first Texan on the show. We are Texan hosts, and so we're glad to have you before some of those other people like Matt Gomez or iPad Sammy. We knew we had to start with the best first, so we chose you as our first Texan.
Oh, dear.
But
so, Todd, I'm already getting texts from Stacy right now.
Me too.
She hates us, and she's speaking with us again. Sorry, Stacy.
She must be watching the show. We'll go ahead and get started. So Amber, tell us a little bit about your background kind of before you became a teacher.
Okay. That's what I did right out of college was become a teacher, and I started teaching fourth grade in Garland. And I taught a self-contained class for 3 years and then transferred once I finished my master's degree in technology integration and curriculum. I transferred to another magnet center called Beaver. Beaver and Watson are actually sister schools, so I taught at Beaver, and I taught math and science for 3 years, and then decided that with my master's degree, I really built my resume to try to get into our technology department, and I became a Title I technology facilitator within the district, and I worked with my techno twin, Pam Holcomb, and she and I split the schools, and so we had 17 that we each worked with. And I did that for about a year and a half and figured out that it was very difficult to build relationships when you had 17 campuses that you're trying to visit and get around to. And I did not anticipate how much I would miss having a campus home and a family and students and people to hug me that knew my name. And so I had the opportunity to interview and go to Luna Elementary as assistant principal. And that was 4 years ago. And so I did that mid-semester, and so it was amazing. And I just loved that role because I still got to do all my fun technology stuff, and I got to work with teachers who were amazing and wanted to do it. So it was different with me being there constantly. I could give them that gentle, sustained support. And then this year, I was ready for a change. I'd been there for 3 years, and those teachers were amazing and didn't need me anymore. And so now I've moved to Watson, which, again, is another technology school. So I'm super excited to get to work with all new teachers and all new kids and all of their toys and things that they have going on over there. It's a real techno-infused campus, so it's going to be exciting.
Very cool. So as educators, there's usually someone along the way or some event along the way that kind of inspired us to get into education. I mean, some of us got into education later. You kind of obviously knew that going into college that you wanted to be an educator. It wasn't the money. So what was it that made you want to get into education to begin with?
We're in Texas. We get paid differently. What are you talking
about?
That's true. Just kidding. I have never wanted to be anything other than a teacher. I really don't know that I've I had a younger brother that I loved to play with and work with, and maybe that was it. I just have never wanted to do anything else. I don't know that I ever pictured myself in administration. I definitely had somebody who steered me in that direction, and such a Jesus thing where I thought I wanted one thing, and he showed me that I really needed something else. But Mitt Price actually had a conversation with me on the way to Walmart that he felt like I should be an administrator. And I said, that's not what I'm doing. I've got a technology degree. We're going this route. He was like, no, I think that you need to be an administrator. You really need to think about that. So I actually went back and got a addendum to my certificate and took an administrator test just as an add-on to my master's degree to become an administrator. And that definitely was never part of my plan, but that guy, and it worked out. So I'm glad I listened to him.
Todd, you have a master's, correct, administration?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm working on a master's administration too, and I think both of us in the same boat. We really love teaching and want to be with the kids and everything, and never really had any intention of being in administration. So, I'm going into the next question.
And I think that's a great point, Chris. I have my master's and I have my principal certification, but I don't think I could ever be in that position because I love being in the classroom. Was it hard for you to leave that environment and go into administration, even though it's kind of felt like where you were being led to?
And again, honestly, I had that break because I went from the classroom to the technology department, and the opportunity was there for me to build those relationships. But again, when you have 17 campuses, it was just really hard. Like, you didn't know kids, you didn't know families, you didn't know who needed a hug on what day because you saw them once a month. When I got back to the campus, since I'd had that break and didn't have any connection, now I feel like it's the best job ever because I get to deal with all of the kids, kindergarten through fifth grade. I don't just have one select group. And I do have families that I'm really close to and parents that I have relationships with. I had lunch last week with one of our ALE students and his mom, and it just made my heart so happy, and he was so cute. And that's just a family that I've got that connection with. But I don't necessarily have the papers to grade. I don't necessarily have the curriculum to follow. I mean, I have my own administrative responsibilities, but it's all the things you love about teaching plus the leadership aspect. And so I think it's just an amazing combination, and it's one school, so I love it.
Right.
So you're considered, I would say, a connected educator. I see you on Twitter all the time. Mm-hmm. I know that you go to all the conferences and everything. How do you balance that with kind of your personal life and just your family life?
growling upstairs right now on my computer. I'm just a fast girl. I fast talk, I fast type, I fast work. I just seem to move that way. And so balancing for me, it doesn't take me a long time to do things necessarily, and so it just seems like I'm able to combine it. But I was that way as a teacher, too. I never did the same thing twice. We were always flying from one thing to the next. And so it's just something that I'm able to balance. I do spend a lot of time at home. Luckily, my husband is a fireman, so every third night I've got a guaranteed couple of hours. If I need to sit down and do something, I can. But if I have an extra 5 minutes, I can write a blog post. If I'm sitting at a red light, I can check Twitter. If I know that I'm going to a conference, I stay off of everything for a couple of weeks in preparation for that. So because I see such a benefit in it, I don't know how I would do my job without being a connected educator. Between blogging and Twitter and all of that support, I would be lost.
Right.
What's up with you Texas girls? You all have fireman husbands. Bondalicious girls have fireman husbands too? Mindy?
I don't know. I just got lucky. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they do, yeah.
Well, Amber, I think a lot of us can look at our path in education and our interactions with different teachers or different students, and I think we all have those moments in our career where one of those kids or one of those other teachers leaves a really impactful mark on our lives and leaves some kind of thing that we'll never forget. Do you have any of those kind of memories of things with kids or with other teachers that just really left an emotional impact on you?
I do, and I'm such a social girl. I have sorority sisters that I'm still really good friends with. I have high school teachers that I'm still good friends with that keep up with my life. I had teachers in high school that were able to be there for me and help support me and make sure I was making the right decisions and going to college and doing all those things. They've always been a part of my life and still are, and it's so great, again, being connected that they can comment on Facebook, they can find me on Twitter, or read my blog and make comments. But I have students that I taught who I still keep in touch with, their families and their parents. So I try to keep those connections and those relationships all the way through, mainly because I want to see where my kids have ended up and what they're doing now. But Garland is still small enough to where I can go to Walmart and run into 10 people that I see, right, and that I know and that I have a connection with. Having worked at 17 campuses, I've got 17 campuses of teachers that remember me as that technology girl. So I definitely think that I believe in that kind of mentoring aspect with holding on to those relationships and those connections. I think those people have seen some things that I won't have the experience to see that I'll always be able to draw on, because, again, smartest person in the room is the room, and I like having everyone in my room. So
one of the things, you're really active on Twitter. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got exposed to Twitter, kind of how that all started, and, you know, why it's really important to you?
Yeah, I went to BLC my first year in the technology department, so that was 6 years ago, and there was a Twitter session by Lisa Thurman and Liz Davis, I believe, and I loved it. I just thought it was the coolest thing ever, and so that was where, again, the 8 Ember 8 came from, because there was a room of 50, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to pick a handle. What is it going to be? Amber Teeman seemed really long, so 8 Ember 8 was born, and then I promptly ignored it for the next 2 years. And I can't even remember why or how. I honestly think it must have been a sports thing where there was a hashtag, and so I started getting back into Twitter and then discovered I could stalk Troy Aikman and do professional development, and I thought, what in the world? This is amazing. So those are my two things. That's what I do. I don't follow Pink, and I don't follow Ashton Kutcher, but stalk Troy, and I do professional development. So that has just became, it's a game changer, and especially having only taught fourth grade, going into Luna and trying to tell a kindergarten teacher activities or ideas or things that she could do in her classroom, she ain't got time for that. She didn't want to hear anything I had to say. But if I could put her in connections with Matt Gomez or another amazing kindergarten teacher, then all of a sudden now I had a relationship with her because I cared about what she was doing in her classroom, from the PE teacher to the music teacher to anyone. I was able to help and support in a way that my own experiences wouldn't allow me to.
So are we saying on the record that Matt Gomez is an amazing kindergarten teacher? Or
Matt Gomez, okay, is amazing, period. And then he's also a kindergarten teacher. Yeah, so
that would be Matt B. Gomez if you're interested in following him on Twitter.
Gomez, yeah. Yes. Matt is amazing. And he's a great guy, and he's super supportive and super helpful and would just do anything in the world that you asked him to. So I'm lucky that he literally lives, like, the neighborhood across the street. So we're neighbors.
Wow.
I didn't realize that. I did not know that either.
And we're poncho buddies. He loves ponchos. I love ponchos.
Wow.
Now, did y'all meet? Did you know each other before Twitter?
We met through Ed Camp Plano, the first year that Ed Camp Plano. Somehow, some way, I ended up on that organizing team, and I'm not real sure how that happened. But Matt and I connected there, and then together we went on to do with a different group of people the next year, Ed Camp Dallas. And then this will be our third year doing it together, doing Ed Camp Dallas. And that's coming up October 12th.
We'll be there for sure this year.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. That's where I met you, Todd.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. That's what I always tell people is the power of Twitter is more than just the learning. It's the connections you build. And, you know, we had Erin Klein on last week, and she brought you up and said that y'all just randomly met at a conference and hooked up on Twitter.
Gosh.
And now y'all are like best friends.
It's ridiculous that I never even heard the name Erin Klein or Angela Watson in a very chance, hey, do you want to go to dinner? Changed my life. And I mean, that's the reason I was at that conference, I think, now, is to have met those two girls and have them in my world. So it was great.
Well, if you have to, because do you have a lot of connected educators in your district?
It is growing.
Right.
Growing and growing. I think that they are all starting to see, and our district is doing an amazing job of starting to make that a prevalent topic. I know that our technology department has some go-getters and some people that are really getting out there, and I know that they're trying to make a difference and really kind of push that message. So our new superintendent is super into technology.
Well, that's good.
Great, I know.
So how do you sell the idea of Twitter to teachers that may not know exactly the benefits or understand what it is?
Again, I think that gentle but sustained support. We send out a weekly newsletter at Luna. It was called The Lion Bites. Super cute. B-Y-T-E-S. So cute. And I haven't decided what the Watts one is going to be called yet, so I've got to think cleverly and whatever kind of alliteration, I can come up with a Watson Wildcat. But every week I would send out a Technoteamin tip and I would send out a tweet. And so gradually there were some overachievers, of course, who wanted to jump in. Tammy McDonald, one of our fourth grade teachers, was amazing, and she has just really jumped into this whole Twitter sphere and even got her students by the end connected and tweeting with meteorologists and different connections. But I think showing them the benefit and also never going away. I would just bounce in and smile and be like, hey, did you check Twitter? Did you see this? I found this. Have you looked at this? What about this person? How about this person? So I just kind of smiled a lot and never gave up. And by the end, again, there was quite a few who had jumped on board and some who were a little bit more resistant because they had right. So many other great things going on, but I could still give them stuff. So I at least think the exposure has been there.
Right.
Yeah, very cool. So I know that you guys that you have an active blog. So have you always been a writer, or how'd you get started with the blog, and what kind of importance does the blogging
have?
Yeah.
When I was at Beaver my first year, I just, again, finished this degree and a master's degree in technology, and so I felt like, okay, what am I going to do? I've got to do something exciting now because I'm at Beaver. I went to my principal and I said, hey, I want to blog. And he said, great, shut the door on your way out. Just close that behind you. And so I went back and I couldn't figure out what I was doing, and I found David Warlick's Blogmeister, and that was a solution that I found. The district didn't have a platform for blogging at that time. Again, we're talking like 7-8 years ago, 8 years ago now, good grief. And so Blogmeister allowed you to connect with your students, but it offered this 3 different levels of security. And so I felt like, okay, that's a comfortable enough way to do that. Well, at some point, my principal mentioned to somebody else that I was blogging, and the technology department called, and they said, hey, we need to talk to you about that. What are you doing? So they asked me to put together some kind of presentation, some kind of something that I could go in and meet with the executive director of technology, the executive director of elementary technology, and the elementary coordinator about me blogging. And I was like, okay, fourth grade teacher, here I go. So I get all dressed up in my suit, and I put together a PowerPoint, and I went and met with them and explained, of course, all the reasons why we wanted to blog, and that my fourth graders wanted an audience, that they cared more when it wasn't just me reading their stuff, and that I wanted them to have the voice, and I needed a way to communicate to where everybody would talk to me, including those shy kids or including those kids who were worried about sounding unintelligent, those kids that sat there quiet. We luckily had more technology in that building and in that classroom, so it really opened up the opportunity for everyone to be involved. So they let me do it. They let me have that blog, and I, as far as I know, was the first teacher that had a sanctioned blog and was able to do that for several years, and then they introduced Gblog, which was a great solution. But I presented at Region 10 and a couple of different other technology conferences with some of my technology people on blogging in the classroom and what it meant to my students and how the letter I sent home, the way that I convinced parents that it was safe and that it was okay, the lessons that we did, what I posted, why I posted. And so it just kind of evolved with me and went with me wherever I went. When I moved into the technology department, it became my resource for sharing resources across all 17 campuses. And then when I became an administrator, I really enjoyed being able to share. I think a lot of that, and not in a yay, look at me, sharing kind of way, but more of a we're all in this together, and we're only as good as our weakest link. And if you don't know any of these things, and I know some of these things, together, that kind of lifts everybody up. And so I'm a big believer in that. And so then it just became this administrative leadership, inspirational, Troy Aikman-ish place where I can talk. So.
Now, have you always been comfortable blogging?
Yeah. Yeah, I talk a lot, Todd. You know that. So it hasn't.
See, I talk a lot too, but putting it down in writing and then going, oh my gosh, because I know, I mean, Chris and I have talked about this before, but it's like, is anybody even going to read what I say?
It definitely gets lonely in the blogosphere. It definitely can get lonely. But I needed that to be able to go back to and reference, and whether it be a lesson or an app or an activity or something like that, it almost became my way of documenting what I was doing. I didn't have a binder where I could flip back through and check what lessons I did, But I had all of this different stuff that I kept up with, and by tagging it and organizing it, that's the way I've really kept up with everything that I've done. And even when I moved from the district server to my technicallyteamin.com that I'm on right now, I almost brought all those blogs back with me because I didn't want to lose those experiences. So it's kind of my journal of where I've been and what I've done and what worked and what didn't work, and I'm super open about things that don't go well and things that didn't work out the way I wanted them to, as much as the successes. So,
well, you know, I think that's what a lot of us that read your blogs and really enjoy it is that you can really hear your voice in your blogs. It doesn't feel forced. It is a very honest view. I mean, every time I talk about blogging people, you're one of my five that I always share. I'm like, you got to go read hers because it's an interesting read. It's not 10 pages long, so you can read it easily. But do you ever try to encourage your staff to write as well?
Yeah, that was one of the things at Luna, because of the administrator, Mr. Howard, who was phenomenal, wanted to bring more technology on that campus. That was the first thing that I said, is that I want all the teachers to have a blog. I want this to be the way that you communicate with your parents. And these are the reasons why. And this is the reason I say this. And here's how it has worked. And here's how I can support you and all of that kind of stuff. So every teacher at Luna had a classroom blog, whether they wrote on it as here's our great day or they posted their weekly newsletter. I didn't care what they did as long as they got in there and did something. And again, some people took it and ran with it and became phenomenal bloggers, and some people didn't, and that's okay too. And then some did a happy medium where they still sent some stuff home, but they also posted stuff to their blog. And I think those that did it would tell you that there was a benefit, that there was an increase in relationships and in communication with their parents, which is exactly what I wanted them to see. That it was harder for a teacher to think that they didn't have their child's best interests in mind when that teacher was blogging about how amazing her class was and all the fun things that they were doing every day. It's kind of hard to take that person wrong.
Well, you know, that's funny you say that, because when I was blogging this year every single week, which I thought was even better than my lesson plans, was having those blog posts afterwards.
Yeah.
But parents were reading the blog. I didn't know, because I didn't advertise it too much with my parents, even mm-hmm. though I was blogging only about what we did in class. But parents were coming up to me and going, oh, I read that you did this, this, and this, and I thought, why am I not taking advantage of this? Because it's such an easy open door to allow parents to come in and see the class and see a different side of me than just mm-hmm. this authoritative figure that leads the classroom.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't care about their kids or who only works from 8 to 3 and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I think that we live in a Google-friendly world, and if people can Google you and find anything out about you, I think that they do. And it just takes mm-hmm. that one parent who goes, Todd blogs. Have you seen that blog? And then it spreads like wildfire. So even people who wouldn't Google you normally would find out from a PTA mom. So
one of the trends that I'm kind of seeing on Twitter, just in the last few weeks, it seems like a lot of people are sharing each other's blogs a lot more frequently than in mm-hmm. the past. And I have to believe that's due to Triber in part. Mm-hmm. Are you guys both on Triber, or are you on Triber, Amber?
Amazing Erin Klein.
Oh, cool. So
yeah, Amber's in my tribe.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that I follow seem to be posting a lot of just other people's blog posts, and it's mm-hmm. it's good for me because I get to see these things that I may not have seen in the past. So I think mm-hmm. that's part of the blog is writing your own blog, but the other part is sharing it and letting other people read your thoughts and then comment on those as well. So I think that's a pretty cool trend that we're seeing right now.
I have to get better at commenting because, again, I do think that whenever you have 170 posts and you've got like 36 comments, you're like, what am I even doing this for? Who's reading this? Nobody cares.
Yeah,
but that Triber has offered that level of support to where I know it's getting out there. I know people are seeing it, but I have to be better. I need to model that and comment more and show people that I'm reading it versus just reading it and going, oh, that's a great idea, and then not telling them that.
You know, that's funny you say that, because Erin and I were talking about that last week on the show, and she was trying to say the same thing about how a lot of us read these posts, but we don't ever comment, and that's where we get the great feedback is from comments from people. And so mm-hmm. we were all saying, yeah, we all need to get better at commenting because we're reading
them. One more
thing
to do. We've got time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think it really inspires that person to write the next blog post, and that's kind of why I gave up on it. It's just like, no, I was looking at my analytics. I'm like, I got like 5 people a day coming to check this out. I'm like, you know, who's reading this? This is not this. So I don't know. Maybe I need to join a tribe and start and just commit myself to writing more often or something.
It holds you accountable, and you see the great things that other people are doing, and you're like, oh, man, I need to get in there. I need to jump in. I need to write something. And that, again, that darn Matt Gomez, I think he blogs every single day. I can't keep up with that.
Me too. I'm so glad you said that, because there's some people that are in our tribe that I'm like, oh, they blogged again? Dang it, I haven't blogged in a week. I got to blog something so I can keep up with these people.
And now that school has started, like today, I've been going, I'm like literally, I didn't even get home until 6, and then we ate dinner, and so I'm like, hold on, Todd, I'll be there in a minute, hold on. I just don't know, and again, you talk about the time. I won't go to bed tonight because I'm gonna, Matt blogged again today, I'm going to post something tonight. But it just is, again, it holds you accountable to having that group of people that you know are doing it and seeing it. And with iGoogle, which is what I use to keep up with all my blogs, I would follow these people on Twitter, but I wouldn't necessarily read their blogs because it's not as if that's attached to their name, like right there when they tweet. So yep. I never had them, and so I started putting them in iGoogle, and then that's going away. So Triber also allows me to connect with the people that I know, like Drew and Kyle, people that I love but that I didn't necessarily read their blogs. Well, now I'm getting so much more exposure, it's easier for me to catch up with them. Like my own little RSS.
Yeah, very cool. So what's something that you're passionate about right now in education? Maybe it's some tool, ed tech tool, or just some trend that's happening in education, just something that you're really kind of passionate about.
Well, I think in two trains of thought there, because again, leaving my Luna land where I was so comfortable and knew everybody where they were and what they were doing, I think I really would have pushed more social media, and whether it be reading other people's blogs or them contributing in a chat, or I really wanted to start a Luna chat because I think we had an active enough parent base that we could have done that one night a week or twice a month or something like that. I think getting parents into the good side of education, that whole we need to be telling our story because somebody needs to type of idea. I think moving into Watson, it's really going to be gauging effective integration in the classroom and making sure that they have amazing, amazing tools. And again, I know nothing about this campus or their teachers yet. I've been there 2 weeks. But making sure that just because we have cool tools, that doesn't necessarily mean we're different from any other school. It's what we do with those tools and who we can connect with and what we can create that it makes those experiences for those kids. That's going to be what separates a technology center from a regular campus. Not because they have the most stuff, but because they're doing amazing things with that stuff.
Just a quick follow-up to that. Is there an admin chat on Twitter, like for admins only?
Well, CP Chat, the Connected Principals Chat, and I blog for them too. George Kuros started that, and it's just connectedprinciples.com, and it's an ongoing chat. It's not necessarily a here's a question and here you go type of situation. So that's kind of ongoing all the time. I don't know of an admin-specific one. I don't participate in any admin-specific other than, again, that connected principles, and that's something I'll check in every once in a while to see what people are saying.
So one of my APs just joined Twitter for the first time today, so if anyone wants to follow him, he's Joel Poag, J-O-E-L-P-O-A-G, if anyone wants to follow him. He's new, and I think he's going
to need you to tweet that to me, Chris.
Definitely. I'll put it in the show notes. But anyone out there listening, you know, he's got one follower, me, so if anyone wants to...
I follow him.
Oh, two of us. All right, so he's going to get there. We've been kind of poking at him for a long time to get on, and I think he'll really enjoy it. So, yeah, so really, really cool of him to step out and do something different this year. So,
you know, teachers have their teams, and they have their good friends on campus, and they have their grade level, and they have all of those different connections, and for administrators, you don't really have that. You don't have... I mean, I have my principal, but that's my principal, that's my boss. That's still a separation there.
Right.
So there is no way to go and go, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. How do I do this? What do I say? How do I handle? You don't have that connection, and you don't see your other administrators on a regular enough basis to where you can have those kind of ongoing conversations in person either. So I think that that's a really good idea. I need to look into that. Having some kind of a chat, Twitter offers that support again, to be able to connect and just sound somebody out. Jessica Johnson is great for me that I can call her and say, oh my gosh, this happened today. What in the world do I even say about that? and we can go back and forth from Wisconsin. So,
well, our demographic of listeners is, you know, primarily educators. And so this is kind of a two-part question. So I guess the first part is, what kind of advice would you give a new teacher in helping them to be the best they can be and become the best teacher they can become?
Aw, get through your first year.
that's the hardest part.
that really is. I've got a sweet friend who started kindergarten teaching today, and so bless her heart, I just told her, just get through the day. Just get through the day, and every day will be easier. And literally, there's so much you're trying to figure out that you don't know how to do. that you can't even be an amazing rock star teacher who masters all these concepts because you're trying to figure out how to get them to get in line and how to take up book money and how to, what are you doing a fire drill bell ring? You've got to figure that kind of stuff out. And then once you know that, then you can start to really deep into your craft. But I think reading books, keeping current, staying emerged in what's happening, and not letting yourself get into that negative mindset where you're too tired and you're too stressed and, well, they'll never do this and why would I bother doing that? That one more thing mentality. Just don't let yourself go there. Stay positive.
Awesome. Well, you know, and then the second part of that is, what is that, this, because that kind of just answers my second one, but the same kind of advice that you would give a veteran teacher who is has been in teaching for 20 years and thinks that, I mean, is there any advice you give them as an administrator?
Luna was incredible in the fact that they had teachers who had been there forever and ever and ever who were still so excited to get up and go do their job and were crazy about Pinterest. Don't tell Matt, they're crazy about Teachers Pay Teachers too. They are so fun. I had lunch with one of them today, and she's been teaching for 19 years, and she can't wait to go back because she's got new things to hang over her curtains, and I just think that's so adorable. But remembering why you do what you do and recognizing that you're not there to make kids responsible, upstanding, stay in line, be quiet, sit there, be still. That's not what you're there for. You're there to encourage and motivate and mold them into amazing people. And I think sometimes it gets difficult when you've done it for a long time to not get caught up in that authoritarian type of role and think that, well, I'm super great because I have amazing discipline and my kids don't talk back and they listen. But are they creative? Are they excited about life? Do they know what they want to be when they grow up? Can they talk to you? Take advantage of the fact that you get to be that person to a child, and that's the most incredible thing in the world to be able to be. And that's what we should all remember, that that's why we do what we do. When I had bad days, I would go sit down, walk up to me and sit in my lap, and I would think, that this is why I do it. Not because the schedule is wrong, not because I forgot to put out the chocolate this morning or this thing didn't get sent home to be copied. I did this for because he needs me to be happy and smiley and thinking about what's best for him. And every decision that you make is that's what's best for kids, because that's what everything should start with. Is this a good decision for kids? Not is it going to make my test scores amazing, not is this going to get the highest grade in the district or whatever, but is this going to impact the life of children?
I think that's my favorite answer we've had on our podcast.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm like, kind of like... Yeah, that's
I was like, I'm just going to cut that part of the podcast out, and that'll be our advertisement.
That's right.
This is the kind of interviews we do. That was great.
Yeah, it really is special for sure. So, all right, let's get into something not so special, the Dallas Cowboys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I didn't write this question, but apparently there was some birthday tweet to Troy Aikman on something along those lines.
Totally happened.
All right, let's hear the story.
Oh, my gosh. This is, and again, I do some different technology presentations at our Region 10 Tech Center and at TEPSA, which is the principal organization here in Texas, and everywhere I go, it doesn't matter what the topic is, I make sure that I show my Troy Aikman birthday tweet, because up until that point on Twitter, Troy had not said happy birthday to anybody. He had never done it. Like, everybody was like, give a shout out to your biggest fan, or hey, I'm starting college, Troy, give me a shout out. He never did any of them, and y'all, we started at like 6:30 that morning. All these people in my PLN, hey, Troy Aikman, tweet Amber happy birthday. Hey, Troy Aikman, tweet Amber happy birthday. Have you tweeted Amber happy birthday yet? Todd Whitaker was the cleverest. Hey, Tony Romo called and asked for your number. Should I give it to him, or are you still waiting on a tweet from Troy Aikman? It's amazing. And so at like 5:30 on my birthday, he finally tweeted happy birthday, 8 Amber 8. And it was, I scared my children because I framed. And it was my one of my best friends framed it because I couldn't frame it. That'd be awkward. But she framed it, and it sits on my desk. And I tell everybody that in that moment, right then, he was thinking about me.
There you go. That's right. Absolutely.
So cute. You're yes, so he tweeted me. Chris, yeah, no.
I would brag about that everywhere. Even if I didn't like the Dallas Cowboys, I would still say Troy Aikman tweeted me
the first time. Now he'll just be like randomly, "Hey, what's up, Joe Schmo? Happy birthday!" But no, at that time, just me.
And cool. You will always have that. Nobody can ever take that away.
I will always have it. That's right, my poor husband.
So Todd and I are Houston Texans fans, which is
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we're a good team, and so we're playing the Cowboys in preseason. It doesn't count for anything. But can we get a score prediction from Andrew? on the Cowboys Texans game here.
What number game is that?
I think it's that is a very, very solid question back at me. Let me go find that out. Move to the next one.
Because if it's game number two, no one's gonna play. That's gonna be different than game five.
I think that's a better answer than you can give me, because it just shows that you know that which game matters in preseason. So.
I'm a football girl. I love sports.
I think it's game three, but it may be game four. So I need to check that out. What, Todd, go ahead and go to the next one, and I'll find this
out.
Can't
believe you just got
I'll be evaluating.
Okay, so next question. This is totally different than the last question we discovered. We should have put these in a different order. But the one kind of thing that we always kind of end on with our podcast is kind of asking our guests one time in their career that they've really fallen on their face or failed miserably and learned a lesson from a mistake that they made. Do you have an example of something that you were like, oh, man, I remember that, and I will never do that again?
Hey, Todd, you remember that one time that I texted you and I was like, hey, what do I need to be thinking about for the podcast? And you're like, nothing, don't worry.
Yeah, no, I had to put you on the spot. See, and this is always the question. For some reason, everybody sits there and goes,
It's like, which one? Which one do you want me to tell you about? Good grief. There's so many opportunities here.
Okay, back to Cowboys. Game four. It's game four.
Game four.
So the
we're going to have some starters.
I think the scrubs are in game four. I think the starters are all sitting game four. Scrub city. Like, players are fighting for jobs. Game three is the one where everyone's starting, and at least for a full half or maybe even three quarters. I could be totally wrong on that.
I think that game four and game five are when your starters start to come out.
There's only four games. There's only four preseason games.
Dallas has five because we played the Hall of Fame
game. You did the Hall of Fame game. That's right. Mm-hmm. So it's our game four. It's August 29th, last game before
the next week against New York.
That's true.
I'm going to go with a...
It's scrubs against scrubs. I'm almost positive.
Well, it is us against y'all, so technically. I'm going to go 24-13.
All right. That's fair enough.
I was going to say 24-13 Texans, because that's what it sounds.
No. 24-13 Cowboys.
Todd, you want to throw your score out there just so we have it on record?
Oh, I'm thinking of failures.
I'll go 24-13. Go ahead.
I'll do 24-13 Texans.
All right. 17-10 Texans.
Ooh. I like being the underdog.
All right.
Failure that I can talk about. I mean, not that I can't not talk about. Like, there's so many that I could choose from. I think my entire first year as an administrator could be an example of me thinking I know what I'm doing and the teachers pointing out that I didn't. Whether it be from a schedule that I thought I could sit in my office and do and not necessarily get their input on, and then come down and be like, but what about this and this and this and fix this and change that and do this? That master schedule gives me tired head like nobody's business. I fell out of my chair very early on in teaching. That was great. That was super.
With the kids in the room?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Like, I was going to sit on the top of it, like sit, put my feet in the chair, and then sit. And I fell.
Wow.
And probably my favorite Amber's an Idiot story is that when I first started teaching, I taught in an open concept building. So there were no walls. It was all just partitions that divided us all. And there was a bilingual teacher that, Mrs. Jameson, who taught across the hall from me, or partition from me. And I would hear her with her kids. And when she wanted her bilingual class, little rambunctious, wanted them to get quiet, she would say, salami. And everything would stop, and the whole classroom would stop down, and everybody would get quiet and listen to her, and I thought, oh, okay, that's good, salami, okay. I don't like salami, so I'm not going to do that, but I love pepperoni, so I'm going to use pepperoni. So I teach my kids that when I say pepperoni and I raise my hand, everybody stops, they all make eye contact with me, and then I would make eye contact, and then I would pick up and go on, and it was just the best thing ever, right? So my principal's walking through, doing a walkthrough, whatever she's doing, and I was like, Mrs. Sheridan, watch this. Pepperoni. And they all got quiet, and they all looked at me, and I was like, thank you, class. Carry on with what you're doing. And they all went back to work, and I was like, Did you like that? That's my thing. That's what I do. And she goes, where did you get that from? I was like, oh, well, Mrs. Jameson uses salami, but I don't like salami. So I said pepperoni. She had to sit down because she was laughing so hard. Apparently, salami stands for stop and look at me immediately.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know that. I just thought she was hauling out a random meat product. So I had already taught my class pepperoni, so I couldn't undo it because then I'd look even more stupid. So that whole year, I used pepperoni, and the next year, I was going to remember. But, of course, I didn't. I forgot, and I said pepperoni, and then it stuck. And so then every year, I had to tell the story of why we said pepperoni and not salami. But for the entire time that I taught, that was my signal for everybody to stop down and look at me. And it always reminded me of... Good job. Way to go, Amber.
I love that. That's hilarious.
That's good. So one last topic I want to get into is professional development. I think we had talked briefly about and something you did in your other school that's kind of a little non-traditional. If you just talk about what that looks like professional development-wise.
Yeah. I loved George Kuros's mention of why would you pay to bring in a speaker or someone to come in and talk to your group because you have amazing people on your campus. And I really felt as if our teachers had done such a great job of working with blogs, working with Glogs, working with Twitter, doing all these amazing things. And I thought that everybody had something else to offer. Like some people had gone to a small group training that I couldn't afford to send everybody to. Some people had gone to a stations training. I couldn't afford to send everybody to that either. And so we partnered with another campus that was nearby for one of our days of staff development, and we kind of did an Ed Camp model of staff development for our teachers. And I had done more than you would with an Ed Camp in that I had talked to them beforehand, both campuses, and sent them information and just said, this is what an Ed Camp is. This is unconference style where I'm not going to tell you what to talk about. I want you to think about things that you want to learn about and write it up on the wall, and then if somebody wants to take that ball and run with it, circle it or stick a post-it on it and say, I can handle this. Or if you happen to know that you are phenomenal with math centers and math stations, then I want you to be prepared to do that. And so between the mix of those two things, we had some really, really good sessions with two different elementary campuses, and that at the end was one of their favorite staff developments. I think because it got to specialize in what they wanted to see and do, but because they also recognized that they were experts and could help out their peers, they had the opportunity to talk to the other people in the trenches right there in our district together. So their curriculum woes or their concerns were all the same because we were in the same district. So we had a lot of fun with that, and I really liked that model, not only because I didn't have to come up with a super cute theme and lots of cute fonts, cute Matt Gomez, but because it really allowed my teachers to be proud of what they were doing, and you would see them take those tools and go back to the classroom and use them versus when I'm standing at the front and I'm preaching and preaching. Nobody cares. They just want to go decorate their room. But this stuff they were excited about because it was somebody else from a classroom saying, this works. It's amazing. Go do it with your kids. And so I think that there was more impact on classrooms when that kind of training happened than necessarily me standing up there and saying, hey, go check out this. It's amazing.
Very cool.
I completely agree. Ed Camps have been the best learning experiences for exactly that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Todd, did you guys do something with professional development at your school this year, like that style or not?
With the staff, no.
You did with the students, though.
We did an Ed Camp with the students, but we didn't do one with the staff. Hopefully we can try one this year. We'll see.
I went to some of the poster sessions at ISTE, and I've never done that before. And so I'd really like to we have a staff development day in the spring, and hopefully by that point I'll know what I'm doing in this new job at the new school. But I'd love to see poster sessions and have teachers come up with – have them partner up with somebody else on a different grade level and just do a little poster session.
Talk about what a poster session is for those that don't know.
It was a bunch of tables, and it was different groups of people who might not necessarily have an entire session's worth of content to get up and talk to you about, but they had some sort of visual, whether it be a product or a descriptive poster or a handout of some kind, but they were available to sit there and talk to you about it. And so it was a kind of come-and-go type of feel, and you just kind of walked around and thought, oh, okay, this person is my favorite. One was a group of students from Mexico who had used PowerPoint, but they wrote comics. And so it was super basic technology, but it's really impressive that these fifth grade students had written out this storyline and script incorporating all of the curriculum and the buzzwords and the vocabulary, plot, setting, all that good stuff, made this comic, and then put it into PowerPoint and published it, and they were so proud of themselves, and it was the students walking you through every single step. It was really cool, and again, super basic, but the fact that they were able to teach it means they learned it way better than
absolutely
than if it was the teacher talking about it.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I appreciate you. I could sit here and talk for another hour, but I don't know if we have time.
Looking over because my 3-year-old is sneaking around with her blanket on her head. Yeah. She's supposed to be in bed, so she's managed to make it down and sneak around 3 times now.
Oh my gosh. Your picture with your 3-year-old on Instagram all the time, she is so adorable.
She's ridiculous. She makes my heart so happy. And I feel so bad because, you know, I have an 11-year-old too. And I don't put her on there because she's 11 and she needs to have her own digital footprint, not mommy's digital footprint of hers. So
right.
She's like the wicked stepchild, but I really love her a lot. But the younger one, oh, just makes my heart so happy. I love her.
That's awesome.
Well, do you want to go ahead and share your ways we can connect with you, a blog, a website, whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 8Amber8 on Twitter. I blog at Technically Teamin, just technically TEAMANN.com. And then I also blog on ConnectedPrinciples.com. So any of those, I'm quite loquacious. You can find me.
Todd?
You wrap it up?
Well, it's not Todd. Chris is next. He has to say all the ways you can connect with us.
Oh, okay.
It says your name on the
You know what? The power of Google Docs. I think I saw him typing my name Anyway, we really appreciate you joining us. And
There's
some other ways you can connect with us. On Twitter, you can find us at EduAllStarsHQ. We also use the hashtag EduAllStars. Our blog is found at eduallstars.com. You can find all the previous sessions and videos and links to the podcast there, as well as the show notes. You can also search us out on iTunes. Just go to iTunes in the podcast section and search for EduAllStars, all one word, and find us there.
We have some really awesome guests coming up. We've had the pleasure of talking to some incredible people this Friday. So, yeah, we're doing interviews kind of close together. But this Friday we get to interview the amazing Angela Mayers. She will be interviewing her at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time on Friday, if y'all want to check that out live. And then next week we'll also be interviewing the two guys in some iPads, Brad Wade and Drew Minock. We'll be interviewing them next week, and they're going to be making a huge announcement on our show that they've been saving for our show. So we encourage you all to check that out as well.
Little teaser.
I can't share yet, but it's a exciting announcement they're going to make. So.
Very cool.
Guys, I really appreciate you having me on, especially letting me be number 8. I really appreciate you thinking ahead and doing that for me.
It was definitely in the plan. It was in the master plan all along.
Troy told us that's what we had to do. So when Troy says to do it, we say, okay, Troy.
I agree.
And guys, I say this at the end of every show. Like, if you like the show and you've gotten this far, we really appreciate it. If you could give us a rating or some feedback on iTunes, it really helps out the rankings and gets more people to view or watch the show. If you didn't like it, then move on to the next podcast and find something.
Come back for Angela. It'll be better.
No, we love having Amber. Stop it. All right. Thanks again, Amber. It was awesome.
All right, guys. Bye.